You're listening to the Youth Crit Podcast on KHZ Network. Find us on Facebook at DecibelUNG Radio and find us on Twitter at DecibelUNG. If you like this episode, please leave a like and comment on our iTunes page at KHZ Network. And now for the podcast.
We are the best kept secret in the universe. We work for a highly funded yet unofficial government agency. Our mission is to monitor extraterrestrial activity on Earth. We are your best, last, and only line of defense.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Youth Critic Retrospective. I am your host, Cale Smith. Joining me today is Ryan Molina.
What's up, guys?
And today on the retrospective, we are going to be talking about Men in Black. It is the 20th anniversary of the Men in Black first movie, and also it's the 15th anniversary of the sequel, and then it's the 5th anniversary of the third movie. So Ryan and I are going to talk about this franchise as a whole, and then we'll start with production history along with our first impressions on the Men in Black films. And then we'll lead into the sequels and then where the franchise is at right now. So starting off with the production history, of this Men in Black started with Ludwig's comic book series for Sandy Carruthers comic book, The Men in Black, and producers Walter F. Parks and Laurie MacDonald optioned the rights to The Men in Black in 1982 and hired Ed Solomon of Super Mario Brothers fame and Bill and Ted fame to pen a very faithful script of the film. And they originally wanted Barry Sonnenfeld to do it, but he was signed on to do the Elmore Leonard novel adaptation of Get Shorty, so he was not available. And they hired Les Mayfield, who did the directed the remake of the Miracle on 34th Street movie. And after seeing that movie, they were not very impressed, so they delayed their whole Men in Black film with Sony until Barry Sonnenfeld got done with Get Shorty. Afterwards, they moved very quickly to get Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith, who were both pretty hot at the time. Tommy Lee Jones was more known for The Fugitive, and I think U.S. Marshals and The Client, those movies came out either around the same time or before. And then Will Smith was hot off of Bad Boys 1, and Independence Day was getting a lot of buzz. So with that said, we have two character actors, one who plays a straight person, and one who's always like the comedic timing. So Ryan, what were your first impressions of Men in Black?
When it first came out, man, it was a great film. I enjoyed every bit of it, especially when we're talking like Will Smith, because remember he was also coming off being the Fresh Prince as well during that time. So he was just rising through the charts, especially in the music world. Remember, he's starting to win some Grammys for his rap there with DJ Jazzy Jeff, and especially the album that got brought out for this. You remember his track, Men in Black, for that?
I was very young when the first Men in Black came out, so I don't remember it when it came out. However, I've seen the rap video and even heard the song, like, after the film came out, like, after I watched the movie again recently.
Yeah. I mean, to me, Will Smith was one of the best things about it. But then Tommy Lee Jones, his dry sense of humor that he had, it was just a perfect combination.
Well, it's the perfect buddy comedy, you know, dynamic where you just have one straight guy who's just straight, doesn't break a smile, and that's perfect for Tommy Lee Jones because he's a super serious, super, even to now today, like, he's super serious, super begrudgent. And Will Smith is the, you know, and Will Smith is like the poppy, like, all over the place. Well, not all over the place, but he has energy and charisma and can do, you know, that million jokes a minute. So that team up worked very, very well for Men in Black. And even Barry Sonnenfeld, you know, has tried to keep doing that kind of dynamic in almost all of his movies. So yeah, that's why he was really perfect for it. That's why they were both perfect for it. But what were your thoughts initially on the film?
Like I said, I enjoyed the film. My thoughts on the film was it was actually a great movie for the time. And just like many other trilogies, the first one started off with a bang. The first one was good dynamics. The characters were good. Development was good. I could have done without the roach, but, you know, it led to some great scenes, especially like, where are you going? I'm going to get my gun back.
Yeah. I mean, what's interesting about the Roach is, I mean, it's a really good villain, because, I mean, and it creates all these interesting dynamics, because there's roaches everywhere in New York. And people, you know, it's just a tendency to, like, step on them or get rid of them, because they're considered pests. So to have this character who has this one weakness, which is he cares about all of the bugs in New York.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one reason why he wants to destroy humanity. That's actually a really cool, that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea for a villain, but I mean, I understand the Roach. Like, the CGI doesn't quite live up to today's standards.
Well, no, it wasn't the CGI. It was just the fact that you're a little kid and you're seeing this big old giant cockroach. Let's face it, as kids, we weren't always playing around with roaches.
Right.
But in the end, it was a really good, I really enjoyed it. And like I said, good memorable scenes, especially like when the recruitment scene, you have all these serious military heads are sitting there playing. All of a sudden you hear the table being dragged along. It's like sitting there trying to work.
Yeah. Or even better when they like are in the shooting range.
He shoots
the little girl.
Why did you feel to shoot little Susie?
Well, why'd you feel that little Susie had to die?
Because little Susie right there is working on some advanced mathematics. That's too advanced for a little girl like that. I mean, look at this dude. This dude right here. See, he's just sitting there getting his exercise on. I don't want to be shot when I get my exercise on.
and he was really perfect for the part. Because as we learn in, and we'll get into this, we'll get into more of the sequels in a minute, but as we learn in the sequels, military men who are just just hunks of meat, per se, they're not like the best. They're probably not the best for Men in Black, because they're just going to harass the race. Whereas Men in Black, they kind of have to be confrontational, like Starfleet in the Star Trek movies. Like, they have to be confrontational with the race and act accordingly. If situation arises,
don't press the red button.
Don't press the red button. My thoughts on Men in Black, I saw this later. I saw this before I was a teenager. I think I was like 11 or 12, and I really dug the first movie. And I even, you know, even to this day, I don't even mind the sequel. I know that's weird, but I'll admit the sequel is lesser than the first movie. But the sequel doesn't bother me as much. And other things about the first movie is say what you will about Ed Solomon as a person and then as a screenwriter. His script for this movie is spot on, incredibly well crafted, and Barry Sonnenfeld's direction is spot on as well with the goofy and imagination and basically letting make all time famous makeup artist Rick Baker just go insane with all the makeup effects.
Yeah.
So I have to praise Sonnenfeld and Solomon for basically crafting a very good narrative. And while the movie kind of does have to, it does have an uneven pace when it has to rush into the third act to go destroy the bug. but the mystery and the way the characters, you know, just, you know, find out everything and how information is delivered to the characters. Because, I mean, from the get-go, we know pretty much what the bug is, what it does. We know what his plan is. For us, as audience, the real we're just waiting for everyone to catch up. But somehow, and in most cases, that would be kind of a bad thing, just us, the audience, waiting for the characters to catch up. But for some reason, Barry Sonnenfeld and Ed Solomon, they make it work. They make that whole... They make it work by not taking it super, super seriously.
Yeah, the comedic timing is what really relieved that. But do you remember the cricket?
The cricket. I think I do. Well,
okay, so Jay and Kay. Kay brings out this big old gun. Jay's like, oh, when did I get mine? Nope, you get this little thing.
Oh, okay, I thought you meant like a literal bug. Oh, yeah, I remember now. It's a little gun. And it, but it's...
Sits there, shoots, boom, the recoil.
Yeah, it's a pretty powerful little gun. And it causes a lot of havoc.
Yep.
My favorite part about those scenes, though, is when they try to explain it to, like, the onlookers, the people, the bystanders, and they're like, it's a gas thing, and it exploded from Venus. It came from Venus. I always love those scenes because it's just, you know, so hilarious. And the first time...
Would you stop with the flashy thing? You're going to ruin her.
Yeah. Yeah, and Will Smith, and there's a great moment. The first time Will sees, or a Jay sees Kay do it, he comments on, like, that's like the most bullshit story you could have ever come up with. And I don't know. This movie is very well crafted.
Yeah.
It's a very well crafted, you know, script with two really good leads. And I really dug it. If there was any issue with the movie, is that the morgue lady.
Yeah.
Who is like our, I guess, by the book, damsel in distress.
Yeah.
She's not given too much to do, but I mean, for narrative's sake, giving her more time would have just been more fat for the movie. So I don't know how you feel about that. But
no, I agree. I mean, really, she didn't serve much of a purpose other than finding the cat, finding the galaxy, and then being the damsel in distress. Although, at the end, when she comes and blows the damn thing up again, she's just like...
She blows the second half of the roach.
It's like, where can I get me one of these?
Yeah. I really liked her character, and I wish they would have done more with her in the sequel, but yeah. I guess either she did... I don't know exactly what happened.
She missed the dead body, so she went back to the morgue.
Well, I mean, like, the actress, like, the reason why she couldn't come back.
Yeah.
But yeah, I always found that odd in the movies that, you know, they didn't want to stick with that, and they just went back to Kay.
Yeah.
So, do you want to get into the sequels?
To be honest, I wasn't a huge fan of Men in Black 3, but Men in Black 2 wasn't terrible. Give me one sec.
Yeah, it's not a bad... Yeah, Men in Black 2, it's actually the least... the not so well reviewed of the three. And I understand, like, people complaining like it was too short or it felt like just another random adventure they just kind of caught, you know, kind of pulled out of their ass. Like, I understand some of the criticism of the movie.
But Michael Jackson. Yo, Zed, I can be H&M. H&M.
I can be H&M. Come on, let me be. Come on. That's the funniest. That's a really good inside joke. Or it's a really good joke.
Yeah.
And so going into the sequel, it was a 5-year wait. Not a lot of sequels do that nowadays.
Yeah.
I mean, not a lot of sequels have a 5-year wait for the second one and then a 10-year wait for the next one.
I'm about to say, isn't a Blade Runner
Blade Runner 2049?
Yes, thank you. That's what? How many decades since the original?
That is 35. Like, it's having its 35th birthday either this weekend or the next one.
35 years for a sequel. Dang.
Yeah, I mean, there's Lego sequels like Blade Runner, but I mean, but normally when a movie does huge and you're waiting, you don't wait 5 years for just another adventure with these people.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, unless you're like Nolan or Abrams who can like make a studio wait that long, make a studio wait for 3 or 4 years.
Or you're George Lucas not wanting to sell the last three after being done with the first three.
Of course. So in the sequel, we have the plant. I can't remember. It's a very complicated name, but I can't remember the name of like the race that are now coming down to like try and end Earth, or they're looking for the light of Zartha.
Yep.
I only remember that because it sounds like Zathura, the Chris Van Allsburg book.
Yeah.
And it's not as complicated as the names of some of these races.
Yeah. All I remember is you had the Ivy Lady, who henchman was the dude.
Johnny Knoxville.
Just like five of him.
Yeah.
Floating.
Johnny Knoxville's character was probably the worst part of the movie. In that he was kind of like our Jar Jar Binks, in that he was just totally annoying with, and along with his little like second head thing, which I don't understand how that biology works. So he has just a second head like attached to his back. Like, okay.
Well, I mean, it's not the first time. I mean, if you remember seeing Hellboy 2, the Golden Army, you had the tumor that lived on the body, but he's not a tumor. They're apparently somehow connected.
Okay. All right.
So it's like two separate beings in one body, literally.
Okay. All right. So this one is not as good as the first one. And really my biggest issue is that even at 88 minutes, it still feels a little too long.
Yeah.
Especially with the fight scene with Jay and the three little flying things, or three or four different flying things. Like, that scene just goes on way too long, and it's not really funny. It's not a funny scene at all. Especially when he's, like, trying to come out of those tubes, and everything's about to, like, or the girl's about to launch off.
Yeah.
It's not a really good... It's just not a funny scene, and it's not really that necessary. It could have just been... He fights them for like a minute and then goes and race and get and then ends the countdown. So, I mean, there's stuff like that all throughout the film where it's just like just little bits where it's just like it's just you can tell like they're just trying to get to the 90-minute mark.
Yeah, and in some ways it feels like they're grasping for straws. I mean, they're clinging on to the jokes of the original movie. They just weren't as funny at the time.
And you can make an argument. It's a similar story to the first movie.
It really is. I mean, the only difference is it's K, not J.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not... And this kind of, like, last, like, little bits of twists of Rosario Dawson's character being, like, the daughter of K, or...
Yeah.
Like, it's all, like, in the twists... Like, it all is just kind of forced, like, to get some emotion. And even the ending is... You just kind of feel bad for her because... Like, all she... You know, she was meant to do was just die.
Yeah.
She was just meant to die and blow up. And I don't know...
Did she blow up?
We don't see it. But I think that was the point, is the Light of Zartha after, like... If it's not intended by the race or whatnot, it will, like... It'll, you know, have a cosmic react. It'll have like a cosmic reaction or a seismic reaction that's could level the Earth. So, I think that's what happened. I saw this movie again 2 days ago, and I'm still trying to remember everything that happened.
It, man, 2 days for you. It's been like about 10 years for me.
Yeah, I mean, not a lot of people watch the Men in Black 2, even though it did still pretty well at the box office. Like, it made almost $200 million at the box office, so... And interesting enough, you know, for an 88-minute movie, it cost $140 million. So,
right.
Interesting. So, moving on, unless you have more thoughts on the sequel, do you have any more thoughts on 3 or 2?
Not really. I mean, 2 was what it was. I mean, Will Smith at the time, didn't he come off another box office bust before Men in Black 2?
Wild Wild West.
Yes. So, I mean, Will Smith was still reeling after that, and you could sense it in this movie, trying to recapture mm-hmm. that old Fresh Prince kind of character.
Yeah, that and Ali, which I have not seen Ali, but a lot of people I know like it. Mm-hmm. It didn't do very well, but I think that was more of it cost way too much.
It was a combination of that. If you remember at the time, like I said, Fresh Prince was coming off in the early 90s. You had Men in Black. You had Wild Wild West. You still had the Fresh Prince character, even though he was now becoming, you know, Will Smith, Big Willie style.
Right.
Getting jiggy with it. But, mm-hmm. you know, people weren't ready to take him seriously.
Right.
And well, Ali, it was a serious movie.
Yeah, and, I mean, I admire him trying to do something, but it just was, I don't know. I feel like maybe, I don't know, because, I mean, Ali wasn't that big of a bomb. The problem was it just cost, like, over. It was, like, the first, like, serious, like, Oscar-worthy drama, like, of an Oscar-baity kind of movie that we see today that yeah. cost over $100 million.
True.
And I think if it would have cost, like, $20 or $30 million, it would have done okay. But still, because, I mean, I still, like, approach people, because I know a lot of Michael Mann fans that really love that movie, so... Oh, well. And one more thing about Men in Black 2. There was a lot of Burger King in that movie.
There was.
I mean, even the model, the Victoria's Secret model who's playing the villainess.
Yeah.
She's, you know, constantly eating Burger King in the movie. I mean, it's just like, I mean, I know today we get on to Power Rangers for, like, literally having, like, Krispy Kreme as part of the plot of the movie.
Well, what about Dairy Queen in Guardians of the Galaxy 2? Oops, sorry, spoilers.
Oh, yeah.
Spoiler!
Well, I mean, it wasn't as, like... Have you seen Power Rangers?
You know, I couldn't bring myself to see it, man. I was too much of a fan of the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers in the 90s that I just... Mm-hmm. After you had the original Jason... Who? Hold on, Jason, Kimberly, Trini, and Zach, like...
Tommy, I think.
Now, Tommy stayed on for a couple series. Oh, okay. It was just Tommy and Billy of the originals. And it's just, when that started happening, it just, to me, it ruined Power Rangers for me. I quit watching.
Right. Well, yeah. Well, I mean, you brought up Guardians having the Dairy Queen product placement. But, I mean, it's in Krispy Kreme. It's over the top. Like, it's so, like, in your face that it's hilarious.
Dang.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you ever do, that'll be something to laugh at. So, there was a lot of Burger King. And that's all I got for Men in Black 2. Shorter, but still too fat. Or, I don't mean too fat. Like, too long. And lots of Burger King. So, let's get into Men in Black 3. Which... It should be known, I don't hate any of these movies, but the third one does have certain issues because of what happened during production, because they had to, like, I don't know, Ryan, if you knew this, but Men in Black 3 literally went into production without finishing their script. So I think after 2 or 3 months of filming, they had to take, like, four or five months off to finish the script because they didn't really know where to go after.
Wow.
I think when they got into 1969, that at that point they didn't quite know where to go. So I think you can tell, like, the movie's starting to get better when the Griffin character comes into play. Like,
yeah.
The movie, like, starts to get better because it's a literal screenwriter that's in the movie now. But it has a lot of problems, a lot of issues. So it has, it has a lot of things that don't quite connect as well as they should, but yeah. they still came out with a very, I still think, a decent picture. I don't know about you.
My biggest problem with it was a cash grab. That's all it was, and that's all it felt like.
Well, I mean, to quote my friend on a friend of mine on Twitter, everything's a cash grab.
It is, but I mean, literally, like you said, they went in half-assed trying to do this, and the whole reason was Men in Black. Let's take an old franchise. We can pump a little bit more money into it, out of it. I mean, I don't know, man. I didn't like the plot necessarily, and the Ex Machina that was.
Griffin,
thank you. That was Griffin, like, meh.
Yeah, the...
And, like, the last scene where he's like, I'm gonna get you, and he gets shot all this time by the... I cannot remember.
Boris?
Thank you. Boris shoots Jay, and Jay falls down, goes back, okay, now I'm gonna go left, I'm gonna go right, go left, right, now I'm gonna tackle... I don't know, man.
Yeah.
It was a little too much. And it to me, it really didn't capture like what the original Men in Black had, and it tried, it attempted, and I will give. I'm sorry, man. It's been a while since I've seen this.
It's okay.
Remember actors' names.
It's been 5 years since this movie came out. Oh,
it's probably been that long since I've seen it.
what were your question about the actors?
Played Young K.
Oh, Josh Brolin.
Josh Brolin did a very good Tommy Lee Jones, but I don't know. It still fell flat for me.
Yeah, I will...
But apparently Andy Warhol was an alien.
Obviously he was an alien. My thoughts on Men in Black 3, it's still a fun movie. Like, I mean, the mystery and how the sequence of events unfold, and it still has the Men in Black style, like,
yeah.
Of, you know, everything going down to the cars... it has a very, you know, the music is still there. The aesthetic and the music, along with Will Smith, like, Will Smith knows how to play Jay. Like, he knows how to play this character. And I grant Josh Brolin, like, really, like, a lot for trying to study what Tommy Lee Jones did with Kay in the first two movies. Because it is a solid performance. Like, it's a solid performance in that he's not just impersonating Tommy Lee Jones. He's also, like, playing a young K. Like, he's playing...
Yeah.
So you believe it. The issue is, like, yeah, the Ex Machina, like, it's not the best, but Griffin is such a, you know...
He's a good character, but, I mean, even the tie to Jay's dad. To me, yeah. That's the thing that pissed me off the most about it was because... Here now you're supposed to feel something more for Kay and Jay's relationship, but none of that existed in the first two. That feeling of the fact
it's
that Kay
a lot
knew
of
Jay. Yeah.
Well, my opinion on that is it's not. I mean, it's retconning for sure. But then again, I mean, anyone can make an argument that, you know, Will Smith wasn't the right person. Like, of all the people, like, no one would think Will Smith would be the right person. They would have picked one of the military people. But him knowing Jay beforehand might have, like, softened him a bit.
True.
But then again, I argue, you know, going back to Men in Black, him, like, being like, you know, him shooting the girl because he, you know, she just has upper level books, like, and, you know, the aliens just working out, like, they're not, like, causing harm in the scenario they're given in the shootout.
But even furthermore, if you really remember the series and go back to it, Kay wiped his memory out in the second one. Prior to wiping his memory out before waking out of that coma.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, in all these times that he's probably flushed his memory, how does he still remember Jay?
I don't know.
That's where it is just so much it didn't explain. But even, you know what? That actually brings me back to the second one, though. What happened to Kay's wife if apparently she was waiting for him to wake up from that coma? And they were happily together at the end of the first one.
And then then
he just randomly disappears.
And then in the sequel, they kind of, you know, wrote her off in like a little bit of exposition of like, you know, she left him because he couldn't get over that feeling of, you know, not being on the job, like of not being, you know, surrounded by aliens. Yeah. And even though he doesn't know that, but he can sense the feeling that, you know, everywhere around him, he's kind of out of place.
Yeah.
And that's why, and they kind of sum it up as to that's why she left him, even though still that's pretty bullshit.
I'm about to say, she waits for him to wake up from a coma and then just leaves him for that. Like, God, that's heartless.
God.
And the fact that in the first one, he's pining over her using satellite technology to spy on her.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't work. but that's kind of the problem with Men in Black 2 is it's like, well, we gotta figure out how to get Kay back. Because we can't make a movie without Tommy Lee Jones.
Yep.
We gotta, that's kind of like the issue with the sequels is we gotta figure out what to do, like how to accompany all the actors.
Yeah.
Or all the characters.
And, you know, that actually makes me fear for the upcoming Bad Boys 3. Because, like...
Right.
Been a while since we've been with My Lowry, but...
To be fair, I don't think that movie's going to happen. I know a couple people that want that movie to happen.
That thought they already started rolling production on it.
Oh, no, the director left in the spring.
Ah. Get Michael Bay back. More explosions.
No. He'll add robots to it. He'll add robots and Victoria's Secret models to it. No. Well, I mean, Michael Bay would be... I mean, that would be...
Well, he directed the second one, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he would... Here's the thing about Bay. He would be okay if... He would be, like... It would be okay for fans to, like, have a third Bad Boys movie. If you're a fan of the Bad Boys movies. Like, to get, you know, that third Bad Boys movie you've always wanted from Bay to kind of round out the trilogy. But I don't think... I really don't think Sony is in the... To be honest, I don't think Sony is going to make it the rest of the year. I think they're going to get sold off, and a lot of their properties are going to go to a lot of places.
Does this mean that we can have all the stuff for Marvel back?
Probably. I mean, never say never, but...
Right.
But, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if by the time the second, like, or the fourth Avengers movie comes out...
Yep.
It's basically... Spider-Man's back in, you know... Marvel canon. Or back at Marvel. I wouldn't be surprised. But then again, I wouldn't be surprised if Sony found some way to keep going. We still got Baby Driver coming out. And that movie, even though it's like a 0.0001% chance, that movie could still make $1 billion and save the company.
True. But also remember, I mean, Sony, Viacom might let it go. Is it Viacom that owns Sony, or is Sony by itself?
Sony is like their own little company.
Which one does Viacom own again?
Viacom owns Paramount.
Paramount, thank you, sorry. Viacom or any one of the other big six decides to want to buy all those products, Sony. I mean, you never know.
I mean, they have valuable IP.
Yep.
I mean, they own a part of the James Bond. Well... Well, never mind. I mean, Men in Black is still a profitable franchise. Really, Ghostbusters. I know everyone doesn't like the new Ghostbusters movie, but I still think you can make something out of that I still think you can make one more movie out of it.
I don't. It would have to be another reboot, but to capture like the Bill Murray, like everything that the 80s captured, it's.
It would be a different dynamic.
Yeah, but to recapture what the fans like, that's just like saying, okay, you know what? Let's go back and redo Back to the Future.
Right.
There's no way you can. The way that we had Doc and Marty McFly, it was capturing lightning in a bottle.
Right. Yeah, I guess. Oh, they have He-Man. They could do something with He-Man.
There actually has not been a good He-Man movie made. That could be the one to save. He-Man has a huge audience. you know, with all the 80s retro stuff that's come out the last few years, that actually might be the series to make. Sony, we want copyrights to that. Since we gave you the idea, we want some kind of financial compensation.
Just give us some money. We don't care. We want a little bit of money.
Watch them come in here. Here's a dollar. Thanks.
Here's a dollar. Here's a dollar. I mean, yeah, because, I mean, He-Man's ripe for a movie. I mean, people would churn out for a He-Man movie, and not like a shitty one. I mean, you have to put some quality and money.
I'm about to say, watch, you're going to see The Rock with the blonde wig.
And he's going to be like,
he has the power.
I have the power.
Because that's what The Rock said.
But yeah. Well, I mean, that's even tough. Like, who would be He-Man? Like who could play He-Man? Like, that's a really tough role.
It is. But, I mean, with a lot of your WWE wrestlers transitioning into acting, I mean, the Rock's the hottest commodity right now as far as an actor goes.
Right.
And you got, what's the... Dave Bautista from Guardians of the Galaxy is becoming a bigger name. John Cena's becoming all these
John
comedies.
Cena's becoming a really good actor. I saw him in that Wall movie, and he was really good in it.
So you're getting muscle heads coming in, for sure.
Yeah, and they're learning how to act. I mean, they're learning how to, like, be an actor and how to give a performance.
Yep.
And so I'm interested in seeing where that could go. But what about the future of Men in Black? Do you want to see a fourth one?
I don't. I was done with three. Four.
Do you want to see anything else out of this franchise?
No. I mean, I don't want like a Han Solo movie where you're going to have K, the movie. It just, there are probably some stories that can be dug out of there, but it's, I don't know, it's too late, man. Like, Will Smith isn't the Fresh Prince anymore. Will Smith, comedically, he's still funny, but he's not as funny as he used to be. And he's taken himself serious in all these movies that he's done. I mean, look at After Earth.
Well, I mean, Will Smith can be a good performer again, but I just don't think he would want to go back to that character. And you brought up a really good point with Bad Boys 3, because that is part of that Fresh Prince of Bel-Air era. For him, I don't know. It's like...
The thing about Bad Boys, though, is the fact that you have Martin Lawrence. And Martin Lawrence is still a comedian, regardless, from the Big Mama's House series to the Martin Show to his stand-up. They have a unique chemistry to play off each other that... You just throw a few F-bombs in there, and it works.
Right, okay.
Get Martin Lawrence to talk about his mama's titties and his erectile problems. They're going to put in that little box, throw it in the ocean.
Oh, gosh.
I don't think you're going to find that same chemistry between another actor and Will Smith in the Men in Black franchise. There's just, they come full circle. I mean... There's nothing else to do.
Yeah, I mean, say what you will about the ending of... say what you will about the ending of Men in Black 3, like, with all, like, the father stuff and Kay being, like, the watcher for Jay. You say what you will, but that still, like, ties everything up. Like, everything... Like, There's nothing more to explore, and even if we brought Tommy Lee Jones back in, it would still be ridiculous because 20 years ago, he tried to retire from Men in Black.
Yep.
Like, he was trying to retire. So, 20 years afterwards, he's still going to be like, yeah, I'm still going to chase these aliens.
Well, that, and I mean, I don't know. It's still like, what does he have to prove? Because, I mean, Zed passes, so now O is in charge of the MIB. I mean, if you make him, like, in the head of the MIB, it would make more sense. But he probably is not. But again, like you said with that ending, it tied it all back. And regardless of how you felt and the fact that it doesn't connect, it's done.
Right. Yeah. So I don't really care going forward. I heard it one time they were going to do like a 21 Jump Street crossover with Men in Black. But I don't even think that, I don't even know if that could work.
Be like 20 years ago it would have worked, but wait, Jonah Hill wasn't, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That one, yeah, that one missed out by a mile.
Yeah. So I don't know where the Men in Black franchise could go. Just kind of, you know, let it be. I mean, Barry Sonnenfeld did a really good, I think he did a solid trilogy.
Yeah.
And that's totally his. And it's,
well, you know, now that you mentioned 21 Jump Street, if you put K and J as minor roles, just cameos,
right?
Let it be a new set of agents. You could probably get away with it, but yeah, it is. It's still picking at the bottom of the barrel.
Right. All right. I think we've talked Men in Black to death.
We probably have.
All right. Just like Sony has made it to made movies to death out of it. All right, so that is it for the Youth Critic Retrospective.
Okay, I'll just look into the light. Don't worry, you're not gonna remember this.
Ryan, why are we here, Ryan? Why are we recording? Oh, that's it for the Youth Critic Retrospective. Ryan, do you have any Twitter or Facebook handles you want to plug in?
You can find me on Instagram at Little Eagle Music, Little Eagle_Music. You can find me on Facebook at Ryan Little Eagle, and check it out. Got a lot of different music going on, from jazz, rap, country, world music. Of course, you can also catch Kale. Where are you at on Twitter and stuff?
I am on Twitter at Movie Kale, and then you can follow this podcast for updates and info on the podcast at The Youth Critic, and then you can follow the channel which we distribute this podcast on at KHZ Network. And as far as retrospectives go, I'm not sure. I think Spider-Man's coming right after this, so we'll see who we can get, and that one will be around just before the 4th of July. Thanks, everyone. We will be back with you next week. Bye. Thanks, Ryan.
Who am I? You sure you want to know? If somebody told you I was just your average, ordinary guy, not a care in the world, somebody lied.